They're going to be talking, talking and talking at Stormont. Let's speak to our political correspondent, Tracy McGee. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Significant talks beginning today.
Yes, we apparently are going for the hat trick. If we could score goals the way we do talks, I think our pass to France would be very much guaranteed. We have had, of course, the Haas talks, the Stormont House Agreement talks, and now these talks, which will be aimed at implementing the Stormont House Agreement and dealing with this issue of paramilitary links to political parties.
Do we have a catchy name for them yet?
Not as yet. I think it's about a week or so. We shall come up with one by then.
Okay. So they just give us the layout of what will happen today and then looking forward over the next few days.
Well, the Secretary of State is going to have a very busy day today, Frank, because she is going to be giving a statement to the House of Commons, we think, in the early afternoon. It had been hoped that she would be bringing this update to MPs yesterday, but because there was an awful lot of business in the House of Commons yesterday, it being the first day back, and obviously big issues like the migrant crisis and the drone attacks, that they didn't get a chance to get the statement made yesterday afternoon. So for that reason, Teresa Villiers will be updating MPs early afternoon. From then, she will then jet back to Belfast, where she will be hosting this first session of talks. We expect that to be in and around tea time.
Is it today that Mike Nesmith's going to resolve the entire welfare issue with some plan he has up his sleeve?
Well, we don't know. I think in the first instance, what will happen is, what generally happens at these talks is, on the first day, the parties sort of go round the table and put their position themselves, and, you know, give their take on certain events. I don't really think we'll be expecting much on the first day. He was very optimistic yesterday, saying that his party has identified a pathway to deal with the issue of welfare reform. But of course, his big demand is that the Chief Constable and Sinn Féin get on the same page regarding the status of the IRA, and I think that is a big ask.
So in the meantime then, is there no executive business as such during these talks?
Yes, very dramatic yesterday around noon. Peter Robinson, the leader of the DUP, led his entire MLA team down to the Great Hall in Parliament Buildings, where there was a gaggle of press gathered, and he outlined what his party would be. Obviously, we knew that something was going to happen. The party had flagged up for some time that it was not prepared to let it be business as usual at Stormont. They were going to take what he described as unilateral action. Now, in the first instance, that action means that there would be no executive meetings, and there would be no meetings of the North South Ministerial Council, which I think is one of those meetings that tend to go on and people don't really notice, but they are very much a feature of political life here in Northern Ireland. There's one due next week, but they won't be taking place for as long as these talks continue. But of course, he also said that if the talks do not work out, ministerial resignations will follow.
I watched Ken last night on the TV, and he sort of had a wry smile when there was a suggestion, I think it was from the leader of the Alliance Party, that the talks might have to go on as long as they need to go on for, even to Christmas. The whole idea of sitting through Christmas at talks yet again would probably put a bad taste in the mouth of anyone who's been covering it regularly. Do you expect them to go on for a significant time?
It's fair to say, Frank, that there was a collective groan in the press corps when there was any suggestion that we could be looking at talks into Christmas. But look, here's the situation. These are big, big issues. The agenda for these talks just seems to stretch and stretch. We now have, on top of everything that was outstanding in the Stormont House Agreement, this question of how they're going to resolve this issue of paramilitary links. So there's one more item on the agenda. Now, Peter Robinson seems to be quite confident that this will be a short, sharp, intensive negotiation. But unfortunately, experience has shown these things do tend to slip.
So in the meantime, we have to be patient.
I think that's the case. And I think politicians, to be fair to them, I think they're very much aware that the public's opinion of the political class at the moment is really low. And I think they're well aware that there's a credibility issue here and that they really do need to deliver on something. So I think that there will be certainly a willingness to get some sort of deal hammered out.
Yeah, and this is important because it's about the public. And if you walk down a street or sit in a hairdresser's or you're going along in the car today with a mate, it's not the politics of Northern Ireland that you're going to be having a conversation about. It's much more likely to be how the football went last night.
Absolutely, Frank. There is definitely a sense that there's a crisis fatigue in the public mind. And that's very worrying when you're a politician, when you're going to be going to them, knocking on doors from April onwards next year, asking for their vote. So I think they're very well aware of the fact that the public really is running out of patience and rapidly, and something has to get sorted out here.
Okay, Tracy, thank you. Tracy McGee, our political correspondent. And of course, every move, every word of it, Tracy and Ken and the team at UTV, U.TV on Twitter as well, UTV Live tonight, UTV Live. All the bases will have everything covered.